first fell in love with Laurel and Hardy and the silly things they used to get up to when I was a very small boy going to the Saturday morning picture shows. They were men, but they were silly men, and they did silly things, and they got into trouble. You know, like boys do. Boys do silly things and get into trouble.
Well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into.
Well, I couldn't help it!
And this is what we sort of, all us kids, you know, sort of grew to relate to them, really. And they became my friends.
Explain what the premise is of your show.
It's simply to tell the story of two men, a great career, you know, a great relationship, the ups, the downs in their lives, the money they made and lost, you know, the women in their lives, of whom there were many, of course, for both of them. Oliver married three times. Stan went through seven weddings. And you know, the money they made, the films they made, it's just telling the story, things that people don't know, and that's what I love about this. Hello. Hello, babe. Gee, it's good to see you. You're looking... Oh, yeah, you're the same old babe. Of course you are. You're looking swell. You are great. You're looking great. Swell. Oh, you had a bad time, didn't you? Hey, real bad time. Stroke. Oh, golly, real bad stuff.
It's a very intimate setting. It's in the bedroom of a dying Oliver Hardy, and on the stage there's just the bed frame and a chair that Stan sits on occasionally. But it's also very intimate for the audience because everybody's incredibly close to you. How does that feel?
Although it's a one-man show, I don't feel alone because I've got Oliver Hardy lying in bed with me there, you know, and I'm talking to him all the time. It's an hour between two friends, you know.
You take on the persona of both of the characters at times in the play. How difficult is that to achieve, that physicality and those voices?
It's Oliver's voice that I found the hardest to do because Stan's is more nearer to my own timbre. But Oliver's is a very nasal high tenor. But I sort of do an approximation. I think I get away with it. But I have to look one way for one character and I look the other way for the other one, so it looks like they're looking at each other.
What have you got there?
Well, I bought you some hard-boiled eggs and some nuts.
Now, you know I can't eat hard-boiled eggs and nuts. If you wanted to bring me something, why didn't you bring me a box of candy?
Well, they cost too much.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Well, you didn't pay me for the last box I brought you.
You're incredibly well known for Heidi High and the relationship that you had with Paul Shane. That, again, was a similar physical relationship in size and shape. What is it about that works in comedy?
I don't know. It was the chemistry, I suppose, the chemistry between Laurel and Hardy. If I dare say it, Paul Shane and I had the same sort of chemistry, that we had some fun because he was a big Laurel and Hardy fan too. And because we talked about it a lot, talked about them a lot during rehearsals and our offstage moments, you know, Jimmy and David, who wrote the show, they used to put little bits of Laurel and Hardy in for us whenever we could. But, you know, Ted was the mentor and it was always, he was telling Spike off like Ollie used to tell Stan off.
Right. Let's go through it once again.
Crown the princess, wiggle the tentacles, squirt the ink.
Got it.
Well, couldn't I get in just before I'm needed, like?
Don't be daft, I'll see you. You telegraphed the joke. The first rule of comedy. Never telegraph the joke.
The more I learned about Stan Laurel, the more I like him. And his relationship with the fans is really special.
Yes, he spent most of his latter years just writing and typing letters. Just spent day after day after day happily typing and talking to people by post. I mean, he'd had fans knock on the door because his number and his address were in the phone book. He loved it that way. Oh, and Cork. Oh, when we sailed into Cork Harbour, what did we hear ringing out on the church bells? Oh, they went to so much trouble to do that for us. That made us feel so special. We both burst into tears. I've always wanted to tell this story because we all see the dim little character on the screen, but not many people realise quite that he was the brains behind the entire act. You know, he wrote the comedy scripts with the team of writers. He put it all together. He virtually directed every film they ever made. They were credited directors, you know, but they used to let Stan get on with it because they knew he knew what he was doing and what he wanted. And then, of course, Stan's biggest love was going into the cutting room at the end of the day and seeing the rushes and cutting them and splicing them together. You know, he used to stand at the back of the cinema when they had previews and count the laughs and make notes of where things needed to be changed, because sometimes a laugh would be missed, so he'd have to go in and re-edit that. You know, he was a creative genius.